5 months ago, KUER opened its first news bureaus in southern Utah. And since then, our reporters there have taken us to some surprising places. Today, KUER's David Fox brings us into a dimension of southwest Utah he never expected to find.
Before I moved to St. George last June, I came across a tweet that I haven't been able to forget. It was about a labyrinth in Ivins. And all I knew about Ivins back then was that it was a tiny town north of St. George with a lot of two things, retirees and red rocks. It left me wondering, what the heck were they doing with a labyrinth? So I reached out to the resort that sent the tweet, and they told me it was designed by their shaman. And since that gave me more questions than answers, I had to go see it myself. The first thing I learned is that technically, it's not a labyrinth. It's a spiral, which means you follow a circular path to the center. A labyrinth sends you through a series of twisting circuits, but they share the same goal. You follow a path to the center and retrace your steps out as mindfully as you can. The second thing is that the resort has not one, but three shamans on its payroll. Some of them use spirals, others don't. Now, I don't know if St. George is becoming the next Sedona, but the resort's manager told me that they have added shamans to keep up with demand. And the fact that there's growing interest in this world sent me on a quest to get to the center of the shaman business in southwest Utah and figure out what labyrinths or spirals have to do with it. And that led me to Gwen Moon.
Before I was doing this, I don't believe there were any Native people that were doing anything in a spa environment.
Moon is a contemporary shamanic practitioner. Quick side note, true shamans don't call themselves shamans. She's been doing this work for decades. But before she would tell me about it, she insisted that I go through a treatment first. I met her at the resort where she practices, and she had me lie face up on something like a massage table.
At no time during the course of this treatment are you to sit up.
That's because I was lying underneath seven carefully hewn crystals of natural Brazilian quartz that were hanging like stalactites from a machine that was about to blast my seven chakras with pulsating light and unblock my energy flows.
So you're going to get a nice little tune-up this way.
Moon tells me that this process helps people move through different levels of consciousness.
Welcome back. Did you have a nice little mini vacation?
I think so. All
right. Moon says that a true shaman is someone who helps people bridge the physical and spiritual worlds. They exist in indigenous cultures across the globe, but she draws a firm line between the work that she does with clients and Native American ceremonies, which she says are sacred and deeply private. I didn't have a transcendent experience, but it was grounding to simply be for 45 minutes. Still, I needed a better idea of why people were buying Moon services, so I turned to an anthropology professor. Bonnie Glass Coffin teaches at Utah State University. Her specialty is shamanism, and she's a practitioner herself. She says that part of what's driving a growing interest in shamanism in Washington County and across the country is that the fastest growing religious group in America are people who don't affiliate with traditional organized religion.
But that doesn't mean to say that we don't want to belong, right? And that doesn't mean to say that we don't have a yearning to feel connected to something greater than ourselves.
Her comments about connection turned me to another person I had met in this journey. Bob Reese lives in Laverkan. He's 84 years old and got into sound therapy in his 70s. And he says he's kept with it because it helps him tune in with the planet. His basement feels like the gadget room in a spy movie, except for instead of deadly weapons, the walls are covered with musical instruments.
Wow.
There are gongs and drums and pianos, rain sticks, hundreds of Native American flutes, and didgeridoos. And Bob plays them all.
What do you say to people who might think like, this is just a bunch of hippie mumbo jumbo?
If you think I'm weird, that's okay. I don't care. I love life, and I know who I am.
When I started down this path, I was concerned that an industry in my backyard was appropriating indigenous traditions to make a quick buck. Talking to Gwen and Bonnie showed me that there's more to the story. And listening to Bob reminds me, whether you're banging a gong or consulting a shaman or walking a spiral, it's all about taking a step back and tuning into something that's greater than your everyday life. When you walk into a labyrinth, the idea is to retrace your steps and finish where you started, but with a different perspective. And given how the story began, there was only one way it could end.
I'm a little bit of an oddball. I have you heard of a labyrinth?
A labyrinth?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I have one in my yard.
You have one?
Yes.
Can we go look at it?
Yeah.
You bet.
And this one technically was a labyrinth. David Fox, KUER News.